Take your Bibles while you're standing and go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is one of my favorite sections of the Bible, and I have several sets of scripture, but Ephesians chapter 2, there is so much in it. God shows us our nature before He saved us. And you've got two titles in what we read in verses 1 through 5, Children of Wrath. That's what I was before God saved me. And I was a child of disobedience. God gives you a glimpse of how He sees us in the first part of the chapter before He saved us. What we were and how we conducted ourselves before our conversion. The contrast then changes with verse 4. Now keep your Bibles open there, but Ephesians chapter 2, look at those two words there, but God. But God. This is what you were in verses 1 through 3 before I saved you, but God. What a beautiful, beautiful verse. Before God shows us His love in verse 4, He has to remind us of what we were. And then our sinfulness, as we see our sinfulness, it makes God's love and mercy that much richer. You see, if you just see these billboard signs and the bumper stickers that say, God loves you. If you think you're wonderful, well, of course God loves me because I'm such a great person. That's not the way you're supposed to think. But that's the way the average person thinks. God loves you. Well, I love me. Why wouldn't God love me? But Ephesians chapter 2 shows you God's view of us before He saved us so you can see God's love a lot richer than just He doesn't love us like we love us. He loves us so much more. And it's so our sinfulness compared to God's love makes God's love so much better. When you read, now just stay in Ephesians 2, but listen to this. Psalm 116 verse 11 says, I said in my haste, all men are liars. All men. Everybody's a liar. And then in verse 12 it says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. There's such a contrast between, when you read Psalm 116, between everybody's a liar. What shall I render unto the Lord? When you read it, it's just like somebody, God's showing us, you can't trust people. People will fail you. And if you've not been failed by people, hang on. Somebody's going to upset you and fail you, okay? We fail each other, but God has never failed you. And it's almost like He says, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for His goodness and His benefits toward me? I'll take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I know people will let me down, but my faith is going to be in God. Same thing, it's a contrast. Look at chapter 2 there and look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. You know, He tells you that in verse 1, that you're dead before you got saved. That's just in case you miss it. We're told two times in this passage that we're dead. Hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. This morning, my message has two points. Okay? Our sin and God's love. Our sin and God's love. Our fall and God's grace. And God's grace. As you read your Bible, God reminds us of this because we're so prone to forget. We're prone to forget what God saved us from. We're prone to forget what we were before God saved us. And I like that song, so remind me, dear Lord, of what I was before You found me, of what I was. I like that song. The more we remember what we were and what God's done for us, the greater God's love appears. Notice what we were, and I just pointed it out to you, but look at verse 1. And you hath He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Then we just read verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us or made us alive or saved us together with Christ. So now, let me just think with me about this word dead. Before you were saved, you were dead in sin. This is why you had to get saved. born again by believing on Jesus Christ. As a believer, this morning, whatever spirituality you have in you, whatever it is that you enjoy about God, isn't because you're such a wonderful spiritual person. It's because God saved you. And if you have anything spiritual in you at all this morning, it's because God touched your heart. We're not naturally spiritual, right? We were dead before God found us. Okay, when you read Ezekiel 16, and I love that chapter. If you've not read it, we don't have time this morning, but it's a beautiful chapter. God said, when I found you, before you got saved, you were like, and it's a picture, he said, you were like a baby on the side of the road in a pile of blood. Somebody, and I don't mean to be too graphic this morning, but God said, when I found you before I saved you, it was like finding an aborted baby that had been left to die. And God said, I found you in your own blood. And then God said, and I said unto you, live. And you lived when you placed your faith in Christ. Ezekiel 16, I know it's talking about Israel, but spiritually, I love reading that chapter thinking about, I was filthy, left to die and go to hell before God saved me. And God came and spoke to my heart and showed me I was a sinner and said, if you'll trust me, I'll save you. And I said, please save me. And God said, live. And I became a child of God. Ezekiel 16 is a beautiful chapter of that. Spiritually dead means you had no awareness of God's wrath in hell or God's love. When you were lost, you didn't care about spiritual things. The earth quaked and the rocks rent as Jesus cried out from the cross when he was tortured to death in your place, but your heart wouldn't melt because you were what? Spiritually dead. When the only thing that reigned in your heart was you, and the only thing that attracted you was the world. Your heart was so cold and callous towards Jesus Christ that you couldn't see the love of your Creator who died for you. Dead means you couldn't do anything to change what you are. Best picture, when God says you're dead in sins, picture a body in a casket. And picture walking by the casket and going, your tie's out of place. You got a smudge on your face. They can't fix anything that you see that's wrong with them. They can't do anything. They're dead. Same thing. God says, before I saved you, you were dead in trespasses and sin. You couldn't do anything for yourself. You couldn't do anything. Romans 5:6 says, for when we were yet without strength, dead, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. This is why your works, as good as you think they are, can't save you. They're dead. Tell the person in the casket, now, if you want to fix that, you need to get baptized. Go put a robe on. Now, if you want to fix that, you need to read your Bible. They're dead. They can't do any good works. That's why it's so sad to hear people say, well, if you live a good life, you'll get to heaven. They're dead. They can't do any good works. No amount of determination or resolve can help you because you're dead. Until the Holy Ghost convicts you and shows you what you are, you had no desire or will to call on the name of the Lord. Before you got saved, your death in trespasses and sins, there was no desire to get close to God. There was no desire to be holy. There was no longing to be with the Lord. We loved the world and we were content to live for money. That's what we were before we got saved, right? This was our nature, dead. Yet when there was nothing we could do to become good in God's sight, listen, He loved us. That's amazing. When we were in that condition, dead in trespasses and sins, He didn't just love us when we trusted Him. He loved us when we were dead. God loved us while we were yet sinners. He saw our ungratefulness. And do you know how hard it is to love somebody that's ungrateful? You do something for them, and they never say thank you because they think they deserve it. God says, you're breathing right now. He holds your breath in His hand. Thank you, God, that I can breathe. God says if He closes His hand, we go back to dust where He made us from. He holds your neck. I can breathe this morning. Thank you, God, for the air that I'm breathing. Thank you for life. Thank you for life. God loved us, yet we were, even when we were ungrateful, God saw our ungratefulness and still loved us. God provided for you before you got saved. He made His sun to shine on you, just like He made His sun to shine on the saved, and we turned our backs on all of it before we got saved. In our pride, we turned our back to God's provision, to God Himself. Some were more ungrateful than others. Some were reared in godly homes as they grew up and they saw Christianity as nothing more than restraints and restrictions from what the world was telling them was happiness and freedom if they lived for themselves. Our pride, before we got saved, was equal to Lucifer's. We had no righteousness of our own, but we thought we did. We were content with nothing that we had. We were wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But we thought, though, that we were rich and increased with goods and that we had need of nothing. Our pride caused us to see any crying for sin that people did, well, they're weeping for their sin because they're a lot worse than me. But we never wept for our sin because our sin wasn't that bad. That's just something, you know, murderers and rapists and bank robbers do. That's what we saw it before we got saved. God could have said before we got saved, I have done so much for you and you are so ungrateful. You are so proud that I'll never deal with you again. But aren't you glad God didn't say that? When we thought so little of Jesus Christ because we thought so much of ourselves, in God's great mercy, He never gave us what we deserve. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful. Lamentations 3:39 says, you're there in Ephesians 2, stay right there, but it says in Lamentations 3:39, wherefore doth a living man complain? We're so ungrateful, we're so proud, and we complain so much. We complain so much. We're so quick to complain. In spite of God's goodness and great mercies that He gave us, we rebelled against Him. Now, once again, we're not into the second part of Ephesians 2. What I'm talking to you about right now is what we were before we got saved. What we were, how God saw us before we got saved. God's love was so great toward us that He wouldn't turn away from us in spite of our ungratefulness and griping, but He could have. I know I get tired of hearing people complain. Why can't this be that? And why can't we do? And what's wrong with? And I mean, it's just like a mower that never starts. My dad used to say, start it or shut it off, but quit turning it over. Don't you think God says that? Why can't I do that? What's wrong with that? It just goes on and on. In our lost condition, we made light of spiritual things. We were told that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and yet we thought, oh, that's boring. Boring. God's love was so great that He didn't say to us, praise God, if you don't care about your dead nature, then I don't either. Praise God, He didn't do that. Many of our memories before we got saved aren't pleasant. And if you were saved in a Christian home, you have a lot to praise God for. But many of our memories before we were saved aren't pleasant. There's some things that took place that make us wish that that day had never happened. There are some that fought against God so much. Nothing shows God's love and grace and mercy as to why He didn't give up on us with all that we did to God. There are some. Can I just tell you this morning? No matter what sin you went into, if you're saved this morning, God has forgiven you. Aren't you glad? When we look back on our filth and our shame, it should humble us and make us grateful for God's great love wherewith He loved us. Our testimony should be Psalm 40, verse 2. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and shall trust and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Can I just show you this morning, I tried to show you first of all, verses 1 through 3 show us how God saw us before we got saved. Now look at verse 4 and let's look at what God's done for us. Ready? What has God done for us? Verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy, For his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. So listen closely. God knew our filth and our corruption before he saved us. God's angry with the wicked every day, but God is never shocked or surprised at sin. There's a lot of vile things that are going on in the world today. They said, I'm very thankful President Trump has put over 2,000 pedophiles in jail since he's been in office his first year, just from Washington, D.C. They said, if you knew of the corruption and the vile things that were happening in America, they said, they can't show pictures of it to the public because if you saw it, it would emotionally disturb you for life. You cannot imagine the filth and the corruption and the your mind can't go there. I'm thankful. I'm glad the guy was talking about it. He said, we can't show you everything that's been happening in America. It would terrify you. God's never shocked at sin, though. God doesn't go, really, they're doing that? We are. We're shocked at sin, and I think we should be. But God's never shocked at our filth. God's never shocked at our disobedience. Our sin has never caused God not to want to save us. God proved his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. You'll find in the Bible that it did repent God that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. That's Genesis 6:6. You'll find that sin does offend God. You'll find that sin separates us from God. But listen, you'll never find that it grieved the Lord in his heart that he had given his son to die for such unworthy sinners. Amen. God was never sorry that he died for us. Can I tell you this morning, what has God done for you? Can I just give you a couple of thoughts here? Number one, God kept you alive till you could get saved. I know I had many near-death experiences. There's many things I could tell you about. I shouldn't be standing here today. God kept me alive until I could get saved. I should have had a broken neck, swinging in the barn, swung right into the wall, head first, upside down, hit my head. From one wall to the other, got up, and my dad looked at me and he said, son, he said, you shouldn't be standing here right now. He said, that fall, he said, has killed a lot of people. I remember when we were out on the water one time, they wanted to take that boat, and we were on this sled, and somebody said, hey, turn the boat and gun it so you can spin like this. Well, if you're like 30 feet out, you're going along faster. I remember going, whoa, whoa. And then I remember everything went black. I remember going, whoa. I was only 15. I'm thankful God kept me alive till I could get saved. That's what God's done for you. He kept you alive until you could get saved. What else has God done for you? Can I tell you? He moved towards you in grace and kept convicting you by the Holy Ghost of your sin. Somebody said, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is hard to describe. I do like describing it this way. Grace is when God moved towards you. That's one way of looking at it. God convicted you. God showed you your sinful condition that you needed salvation. That's God moving in your life. I told a man last week, I gave him a gospel tract and he was here, and I won't go into the whole story, but I remember I looked right at him and I said, God must love you an awful lot. I said, because God didn't wait for you to come to church for me to show you how much God loves you and wants you to go to heaven. I said, you're in church. I said, but we're not having church right now. I said, God sent me to you to show you how much he loved you. And God didn't wait for you to wake up one Sunday morning and go, I ain't got nothing better to do. I think I'll go to church. I said, God loved you enough to convict you and show you how to be saved. Now, he didn't trust Christ as his Savior, but that is what I told him. What has God done for you this morning? Can I just tell you and just remind you? Here's another thought. God's great love, listen, saved you forever if you've trusted him. Aren't you glad? John 6:47 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I'm thankful that God saves for eternity. And it does not make any sense that if God loved you when you were dead in trespasses and sins before he saved you, when he loved you enough to save you, if you placed your faith in him, How could God, why would God then take back what he gave to you? He loved you before you got saved. So for somebody to say, well, you're saved, but if you sin, then you lose it, that's goofy. It doesn't make any sense at all. Praise God, he loved me before I got saved, and I'm saved forever. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I love this. I'm so glad when I trusted Jesus Christ to take me to heaven. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he didn't write it in pencil. Amen? Look, if my name was written in pencil in the Lamb's Book of Life, there'd be a hole there where it's been erased so many times. That Nash got... Oh, good grief. Oh, okay. Oh, help. Mercy. Okay. Oh, good grief. In the end section, you would see... And then you'd see a hole there. I'm so glad when God wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's forever. Amen. When Jesus saves you, he saves you forever. What has God done for you this morning? Can I just tell you this? God's great love answers prayer. God's great love. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Look, the only reason you think God doesn't answer prayer is because you don't pray. God answers prayer. But if you don't pray, that means ask specifically. Lord, please bless me today. That's not prayer. Specifically. I'm praying for many. I've watched God bless and help us so many ways in our church. I'm praying for some specific things. This cross out on the front of the building, we didn't pay for that. That's $3,000 to $4,000 if you had to pay for that cross. God gave us that. That's an answer to prayer. And it's not because of my prayers, it's because we have a prayer answering God. Amen. I'm praying for some specific things in our church. Dear God, please, if you'll give us this, we could do this. Those tracks out on the track rack, several people have prayed for those. We've got a lot of money in tracks in our church. I'm glad. We've got some wonderful tracks, but those are an answer to prayer. Christian, this morning, can I just tell you, what has God done for you? He does answer prayer. I love what Dr. John R. Rice said. Answered prayer should be a daily part of every Christian's life. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time you had a prayer answered? Then maybe I need to back up and say, when was the last time you prayed? I didn't say talk to God and thanked Him or worshiped Him or confessed your sins. When was the last time you asked God for something specific? And if you can't remember, then I'll make the first statement. The only reason you don't think God answers prayer is because you don't pray. Because you don't pray. Could I just encourage you this morning, please pray, Christian. Take your needs to the Lord. Ask God to help you. If God loved you when you were dead in trespasses and sins and saved you out of that condition, what would He not help you with now that you're His child? That's Romans 8:32. What will He not give you? Well, I don't want to ask the Lord for that because that's just too much. It's like the guy having the big 50-pound bag on his back, and he's hitchhiking, and he's going down the road, and the truck pulls over and says, "You need a ride, buddy?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Well, come on in." He opens up the door, still got the bag on his back, and gets in the front seat and keeps the sack of whatever he had on the back on his back and shuts the door. The driver looks at him and goes, Why don't you put the bag in the back of the truck and get in the front seat? No, that's asking too much. Isn't that weird? That's the same thing as a Christian that won't pray. Well, I'll ask you, Lord, to save me, but I won't ask you to help me with my burdens and what I'm fearful of and what I need. God goes, I can do more than save you. I love you a lot more. I love you enough to save you, and I love you enough to help you in life. You know what He's done for you this morning? He does answer prayer. He does answer prayer. You're there in Ephesians chapter 2. Now that we've kind of looked at it, let me just read verses 1 through 4 real quick, and I want to make just a couple more statements here. Watch this. And you, now that you know what that means, hath He saved or quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past, that means before you got saved, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, the prince of the power of the air, that's another name for Satan. I wish the internet was used for more good. But it makes sense. As much filth as goes over, the internet is used for some good, but it's used for more evil than good. You know why? Because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. I wish it was used for more good. Look at verse number 3. Among whom also we all, this is talking about before we got saved, had our conversation, and that's the same word for lifestyle. In times past, talking about before you got saved, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature what we were, the children of wrath, even as others. Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Christian, can I just tell you this morning, I understand God's pitying me and feeling sorry for me. I understand God having compassion on me. But I don't understand God loving me. This isn't talking that another human loves you. This says God loves you. That's a lot harder to understand. You mean I did verses 1 through 3. That's what I was in His sight. But His great love loved me. What a God. What a God. Look down at verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Beautiful statement in the Scriptures God gives us, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Look down at verse 12, that at the time ye were without Christ, this is once again, before ye got saved, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. Look at this. Look, having no hope and without God in the world. Before I got saved, I had no hope. There was no hope. I was lost. Look at verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes or used to be were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Do you know how come I can be close to the Lord this morning? Because of the blood of Jesus. And this morning, if you're saved, what a verse. You can get as close to God as you want to. Aren't you glad? You can snuggle up with God as close as you want to. And the only reason you're not closer with God is because you don't want to. That's good preaching. Amen. Look at verse number 14. For He, Christ Jesus, is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, knowing what you were, now I just need you to listen to me. After learning a little bit more about God's great love, couldn't you love God back? Because of His great love wherewith He loved us, and you see how much He loved you, couldn't you love God back? Christian, when was the last time you said, with nobody listening, and it was you and God, I love you? When was the last time God heard you say, I love you?
Well, I love God.
I'm glad you do. Has God ever heard you say that? Has God ever heard, has Jesus, I love you. And I don't love you like I should, but I'm trying. And you deserve a lot more than I give you, but I love you. Is there anything then, now that we've looked at this morning, is there anything that the Lord couldn't ask you to do for Him? With all that God has sacrificed for you, can you sacrifice for the Lord? You see, 1 John 4:18 says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. The only way you grow in the Christian life is when you let the love of God push you to do what you're supposed to do. You're never supposed to be driven by fear.
Well, okay, I'll go to church this morning because I don't want to go to hell.
You can't grow that way. And not coming to church doesn't send you to hell. Not trusting Jesus is what sends you to hell. But you can't come to church out of fear. You can't read your Bible out of fear. You can't go soul winning out of fear. You can't serve the Lord out of fear, or you don't grow. You grow one way in the Christian life, when you let God's love for you encourage you to love God back and express that love. That's what the Bible says. Fear hath torment. There's only one way you grow. And I thought this morning, if we could look at Ephesians chapter 2, the first part shows us how God saw us before He saved us. And then towards the end, God says, this is how much I loved you. And Christian, it is that love. That's why you're supposed to come to church this morning. So you could do what? Learn more about the one that died for you. So you could learn more about His love so that you could do what? Do more for Him. Do more for Him. That is what is supposed to encourage us. Why would we give to missions? Because we're God's vessels. It's not because, well, somebody's trying to get my money. If that's the way you see it, you miss the whole boat. The whole boat. Nobody's trying to get anybody's money. There is a real hell that people go to and God uses saved sinners to reach lost sinners. That's God's plan. Why would you give to missions? Because you love God. Why would you tithe? Because you love God. Why would you not tithe? Because God's unreasonable and God's mean and God takes what isn't His and that's my money and I work. Mindset's all wrong. There's nothing Christian in that. Our motivation this morning is supposed to be as a child of God. Why do you do what you do? Because God's love for you. Can I just tell you this morning, and I'll close with this. If you're lost and you don't know that you're going to heaven, isn't it wonderful to know that God loved you enough to die for you even though you were dead in trespasses and sins? Since God knows there's nothing in you that deserves His love, and He asks you to come and get saved, then could I just ask you a question? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Jesus Christ has opened a hospital for diseased sinners that are dead and incurable. Good works and deeds, human morality, outward religion, it can't cure, but Jesus Christ invites any person to come to Him so He can make you whole. If you've despised God, blasphemed and added sin to sin, and made yourself as black as hell, and you feel there's no hope for you, God loves you and wants to forgive you. All you have to do is come to Jesus just as you are. Listen, empty-handed, bankrupt, starving, come to Jesus just as you are. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll save you. I'm so glad His great love loved us. The name of the sermon is Our Great Sin and God's Great Love. Let's pray.